Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Football Friday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. And every Friday show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And Sue will be joining us soon from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we are getting ready for Championship Sunday in the NFL coming up on Sunday afternoon, 3:05. We have the AFC Championship game between the Titans and the Chiefs. Then at 6:40 is the NFC Championship game between the Packers and the 49ers. When we'll be heading to Super Bowl 44, we'll have complete coverage all day on Sunday here on WKOK from Westwood One. And take a look at both games. We'll make our picks a little bit later on, and of course the King will join us at 4:35 to give us his picks too for our pick segment. And I'm going to start with the Green Bay San Francisco game, and I think the X factor in that one is going to be defensive line battle. Whoever's defensive line can make the most plays, whether it's collapsing the pocket, stopping the run, or both, I think it's going to be a key for both those games. Obviously, San Francisco, I think, gets the edge overall defensively, but especially with that front four that they have. But the Packers' front four has been getting a lot better, too, and they're playing their best football at the right time. So that's definitely going to be a battle for sure. And, of course, the quarterback matchup between Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo. What's Jimmy Garoppolo going to look like? And, again, now he's in the next step to his biggest game of his starting career. And I expect him to play well. I do. I've seen a lot from him in big games during the regular season this year, and even in that in last week's playoff game too, that he can make the throws that he needs to make late in ball games, and I think he can be a good quarterback. And if he does get to and win the Super Bowl, you can put him in that elite quarterback status in the NFL, I think. Or you can start to put him in that conversation a little bit if he can keep building off of that, whatever happens here. And, of course, if Aaron Rodgers gets to the Super Bowl and wins it, that's number two for him. You start to put him in the category of where he ranks with the greatest of all time. And, actually, Dan Patrick was talking about this earlier as we go over to the AFC game between the Chiefs and the Titans. You talk about different people, coaches and players, that have a lot to gain from this game and beyond with the Super Bowl if they get there. You look at the Titans. I thought Dan Patrick made a great point earlier today. Ryan Tannehill, of the four quarterbacks that are in this in these title games, he has the most to gain. Think about a journeyman quarterback he's been, struggling with the Dolphins, a lot of high expectations for him, didn't really happen. Then he gets traded to Tennessee, he's the backup, takes over for a 2-4 team, and just leads them to this big winning streak that they had and to a playoff berth and now a chance to get to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1999. I mean, it's been quite the turnaround you've seen from Ryan Tannehill. Of course, Derrick Henry will be a big part of the Titans' success on Sunday, no doubt about that. But Ryan Tannehill has very quietly been very, very solid and the best I've ever seen him play in his entire career with the Titans. It's almost like it's very similar, Steve, to the Nick Foles factor here as well, of if Tannehill's able to somehow win the Super Bowl for the Titans. And then obviously with the Chiefs side of things, you look at Andy Reid. He has the most amount of wins for a head coach without winning a championship. He's in his seventh conference championship in 21 seasons as a coach, which hasn't been done by many. I think only Bill Belichick and somebody else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But obviously you want to see him try to see if he can finally get the Lombardi Trophy too.
Well, Tannehill's played very well. But he hasn't exactly been asked to do a lot. Really, think about it.
He's benefited from Derrick Henry, no question there.
They played a 1960s style game against the Ravens. Let me explain that. This is the way the Packers would play. Early in the game, and again, Bart Starr called the plays. Early in the game, Starr would throw the ball. And then Green Bay gets the lead. Now they may, at the end of the drive, score with Taylor or Horning. But they throw the ball early, get to the lead, and then they'd run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and shorten the game. If there was a sudden change, interception, fumble recovery, fourth down stop, Starr on first down would go play action and throw deep. Didn't I just describe the Titans-Ravens game?
Yes, sir. Ryan Tannehill didn't even throw he threw for 100 yards the whole game.
Yeah, but he did it at the right time, didn't he? And was effective. The touchdown pass he threw when they took over at the 46 after, I think it was the fourth down play, wasn't it?
Yes.
He took over on downs at the 46 of Baltimore. He went play action, went deep, and he threw a perfect pass. He personally has run the ball well. He personally has thrown the ball well. And he better be awesome Sunday, because the guy on the other side really can throw.
He threw for 462 in their first matchup, which Tennessee somehow won.
Yeah, that game, though, was in Nashville.
Right.
This is going to be a little chillier. A little more chilly. At 2:05 Central Time, 3:05 Eastern Time. But let's see, what is the weather for Kansas City for Sunday? Kansas City weather. Kansas City weather. Let's see. Kansas City comes up and everything's about the Chiefs. Kansas City weather forecast. Let's see what we got for Sunday. View 10-day weather forecast for Kansas City. Here's your forecast for metropolitan Kansas City, including eastern Kansas. Oh, please don't give me some mumbo jumbo here. We'll have to try a different website, the one I went to. Awful. We'll try this one. Same thing. Wants me to give the forecast for this location. Look, we barely know the forecast for this location.
This is true.
It's like, yeah, what do you rely on? Well, I rely on going outside. All right. Sunday, sunny and a high of 23. No chance of precipitation Sunday. There you go. The low dropping down to 15. Tannehill and those guys are like, it's what? It's 24. You mean it's the 24th day of the month? No, it's 24 degrees. It's going to be cold. All right. There you go. Our weather is not that great here either tomorrow. We think. We don't know. I get concerned when I'm watching a forecast on TV and the map only has 47 states. Does that worry you?
You are missing a few.
Excuse me. It came up short on a couple. What? Oh, well. All right. So, yeah, and then the other game will be in Santa Clara, where the Packers will take on the 49ers. Now, the first time that they played, was it Bakhtiari that got hurt?
Yes.
He played like 9 plays.
Yeah, that really hurt Green Bay in that game.
They need him in this game, especially against their defensive ends. Need him. So, because they're going to have to summon. I think in both games, I know Kansas City just had a dramatic for the ages comeback against Houston, down 24-0. But I think it is really important to get to the lead in these games. If Tennessee gets to the lead, man, they are a tough team to handle. But if Kansas City gets to the lead, does Tennessee have enough to be a come-from-behind team? I don't think so. I think the Packers need to get to the lead. You need to force Jimmy Garoppolo to win the game. And I think that is going to be an important factor. You know, can you get to the lead and make the other guy catch up? Can you make the other team's quarterback and force that team to play a style they don't want to play? And it's interesting how running the football has become so important to these teams. Not so much Kansas City. Kansas City, no. But when you look at Tennessee, Derrick Henry, the Packers want to run the ball. They like running the ball. And the 49ers run the ball. And then basketball coming up tomorrow. At noon, it's a big game for both Penn State and Ohio State. And that'll be tomorrow at noon, 11:30, the airtime. And our play-by-play call today is going to be local.
Yes, it will
be.
Very
local. It's actually wrestling. As soon as I saw high school play-by-play, great. Once again, middle management trying to influence the show. I made a great call. Use it. I mean, what's next? IndyCar? You do know the rules about IndyCar on the show, right?
Yes, I've been made aware. I'm more of a NASCAR guy anyway, so you won't have to worry about that.
Well, I don't mind having IndyCar on.
Yeah.
I just don't like when we do entire shows on it. It's like we just sit there and go, okay, the goal is to get people to tune in. All right, so we'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Middle management in the back room snapping his fingers to this instead of selling something. Okay. I'm sorry. Matt's like, I can't believe this show. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Conference championship games this weekend. Also, is it tonight? Conor McGregor against somebody called the Cowboy? UFC? That's like the big... Is that tonight?
I know they had the press conference yesterday.
Typical Dick Girardi and me were the M Club yesterday. And, you know, of course, ESPN's promoting the living daylights out of this because it's on ESPN Plus, so they're trying to get somebody to watch the thing. Okay? So, and the sound's off, and Dick says, I'm rooting for the Cowboy. I said, fine. I said, I'm with you. He says, I said, Conor McGregor. Do you know the last time Conor McGregor, I had to look it up. You know the last time Conor McGregor has won anything? 3.5 years ago, in November 2016. He hasn't won anything in 3.5 years. 3.5 years? Really? So I had somebody say to me, he said, well, he tried boxing for a while. I said, did he win? They said, well, no. I said, then he hasn't won anything in 3.5 years. And they're making a big deal out of this guy? This is like the big ESPN Plus showdown, the Cowboy against a guy that hasn't won in 3.5 years?
It is actually tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
Jeez, you know. I may have to watch a movie. All right. let's see. Here's a story. Is Connor properly focused on Cowboy? Will fans remain loyal? Is he properly focused? He hasn't won in 3.5 years.
He hasn't fought since October 2018.
Right? I mean, no offense. He should be completely focused. He doesn't win. He should be locked in as locked in gets. He's not exactly what you would call on a roll. The only area where he's been focused in the last 3.5 years, and this is to his credit, he's been making a lot of money. My goodness. I mean, they give it to him contractually, so he's not stealing it. They give it to him, so he, you know. They got a picture here on the ESPN story saluting the fans. I don't know if that's before losing a bout or is a file photo from 5 years ago. No offense. But if you want to keep your fans engaged, let's try this novel approach. Let's win one. I know nothing about it. Zero. I don't think I've ever watched UFC in my life. I mean, even when I'm going through just doing the guy thing with the clicker, I think even the clicker goes by the channel fast. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, although Buhner likes garlic. Indeed, second to none. Stock up for the big championship games and stock up for a weekend with some up and down weather at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so as Gary Goloshevsky drives around the state, I told Gary I'd mention him on the show last night. So, Gary, you're in. Right, the curator, concierge of the Tom McGrath tailgate, whose job it is not to besmirch the good name of the Tom McGrath tailgate. Just want to make sure. It's part of his job. We now are talking some hockey right now. Let's talk some pucks. And that would mean Brian Tripp, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lion men's ice hockey team, who have a big matchup with Michigan tonight and tomorrow at Pagola. Brian, great to have you back with us, buddy.
Planes and automobiles. That's exactly right.
All right.
So I want to start with the Hobey Baker Award. And, you know, look, there are 78 on the initial list. So, I mean, this hasn't been cut down to five here. But still, Peyton Jones and Cole Holtz are on there. I want to start with Cole Holtz, who's a plus 15, which leads the Big Ten this year. When you watch him on an every game basis, Brian, what do you like about his game and what makes him a dominant defenseman?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Cole is that he can still produce offensively. So he has 19 points, four goals to go along with that, plus 15. So he's reliable offensively without taking chances that hurts him on the defensive end. So he's still able to get that offensive production without sacrificing any defense. And I think a lot of credit also has to go to who he plays with and his chemistry and continuity with Paul DeNaples. So I think they have something that they had from day one, as Paul was a freshman last year, since they were paired together. But the biggest thing for Cole is he's really smart. He can skate. He can move the puck incredibly well. He's got a physical tenacity to his game. But the biggest thing, as I started with Steve, is his ability to be a smart player offensively, but he's very low risk when doing so. And I know the coaches and the team love that about him.
Peyton Jones is a guy that we have talked about repeatedly over the years. He is a veteran. You want to see progress year to year no matter what. It's not, I think too often progress is assumed as somebody gets older. You have to actually go out and do it. Where is Peyton Jones a better goalkeeper now than he was even a year ago or 2 years ago?
I think, number one, mentally, I think he's been better this year. He's always been a smart, cerebral player. He's always been really consistent in his preparation and his leadership on the ice. But mentally, there have been no gaffes this year for him. Something that's happened in the past has been the soft goal. And it seems to come at just the most inopportune time. For instance, if the team's down one starting a period, all of a sudden there's a soft goal and it would hurt momentum for the game. And Peyton would just have those little lapses, and you're not seeing that at all. And it was surprising because of how well he did prepare, because of how gifted he is. And there's a reason why the guy's a four-year starter at Penn State, has the most wins of any goalie right now that's active in the NCAA. And there's a reason why he's on this list. He's been the backbone of the team this year when they've been really good offensively. Peyton's been really good in goal. When they've struggled offensively this year, Peyton's won some games for him in goal. He's been the one guy that from October has been the most consistent player for them. It's helped that they're playing better in front of him defensively, but I think it's his maturity, his mental ability to be locked in from puck drop for all 60 minutes, and that's a really tough thing to do. And then he's improved on his game where he's made the technical changes to make sure his body is in position, even when he's not seeing the puck, or if he's not every game he's going to have his A game. If he has his B or C game, that he's technically in the position to make the plays, and it's helping him out.
He's always been a guy that's had great communication back there. And what has that meant? We just talked about Cole, but what has that meant to the defenseman in front of him that he has been the kind of communicator he has been in that?
Yeah, I think that. And in turn with that, his puck-moving ability. He's a really good puck mover coming out to play the puck.
Yep.
I think it allows them to move the puck up the ice. When we talk about the defense for Penn State, a reason why their defensive numbers, I think that's the biggest change this year with the team, the reason why their defensive numbers are so much better is they've managed the puck better. And that's in their own zone, that's in the neutral zone, that's in the attacking zone. It's not just when the other team has the puck in your end, it's when you have the puck in your own end or you're controlling the puck at the other end of the ice. You can improve your defense by playing the puck better and managing the puck, and it all starts with Peyton and his ability, whether it's slowing a puck down, starting a rush, setting up an odd man rush, as he's done a couple of times this year. And I think that, and obviously in doing so, you need to have your defenseman on the same page with your goalie. That's part of that communication that's made him really, really good.
If you're from Soyasset, New York, you score a lot. Mac O'Keefe scored 1.2 billion goals last year for men's lacrosse. Oh, that's 79. And his old Little League teammate, Sam Sternshine, his old Little League teammate's gone out and he scored 11 so far, and he's got 8 in the Big Ten. Sam has developed. This is a guy that has developed, and he's worked his way to get to this point. When he got here, he was not a star, right? What has allowed Sam Sternshine to become a better player?
He's always had a really good shot, but he's scoring this year on a line that's more of your defensive line with Nikita Pavlichev and Arna Talvidea. What impressed me about Sam is he's making the most of his opportunities, and when there is an opportunity, he now has the confidence to shoot the puck. Before, I'm not sure that he trusted his skills. From day one, you could see that the guy had a gifted shot. We talked his freshman year. Going into his sophomore year, I felt like this is a guy that could score 15 goals for him. And I think before the season this year, everyone said, who's the breakout star going to be? And it was a pretty easy pick. I think there are a lot of people around the program who felt Sam could be a 15-20 goal scorer. And lo and behold, he is well on the way to doing that. I think it's having a confidence in his game, a maturity about his game, that when that opportunity is there, if you think back earlier in the year, the first Big Ten series against Wisconsin, he had an odd man rush, could have easily passed the puck, but he had the puck in the circle, and he took it to the goal, and he shot the puck and beat the goalie. He had the confidence that he could do that, and now he's trusting his skill. He was always a good scorer. He didn't play a ton of minutes, was always a scorer, but now that he trusts his skill and knows what he can do, I think that's made him that much better. You're seeing that. They're an upper-class-heavy team, and you're seeing the maturity in a lot of their games. And I think that's a big reason why they're having the success they are.
And part of that upper class is Nate Soucy's, who's climbed up the ladder record-wise here at Penn State. When you watch him, how well does he see the ice? In other words, is this a guy that knows where the other 11 chess pieces are?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you saw the point that actually – the play that broke the record, the point record, was an assist right off a faceoff. He pushed it forward, went through the legs of the other center, and then set up Max Sauvé out front. Nate wasn't looking to see where Max Sauvé was. He just knew where he was supposed to be, got the puck there, and he put it in the back of the net. The thing with Nate is, obviously, if you go to a game, the first thing you see is the guy can skate. He's as fast, if not faster, than anyone on the ice. And he's got a great shot. But what makes him such a good player is he plays hard, he plays physical, he's really, really improved his defensive game since he's gotten here. That's made his line more reliable, and every night he can make it. He makes a pass that you say, how did he know that guy was over there? He has really good instincts, and he's been so reliable. To put up the type of numbers he has, you have to do it from your freshman year on. And every year that he's been here, he's been a 20-plus point scorer for them. So it's not like all of a sudden Nate broke out and had a 50-point season, a 60-point season. He's done it since he's gotten here. And I think for that speaks volumes about the type of player he is and the type of maturity he had when he got here.
I want to get to special teams because Penn State's a +14 power play versus opponent's power play to this point. So Penn State's averaging better than one power play goal per game. The opponent is averaging 0.5 on their on their power play per game. So what have you liked about Penn State's special teams play at both ends?
All right, let's start with the PK because it's been one of the most improved aspects of the team along with the defense. And I think you have to start with what we talked about. That's the goaltending they've gotten from Peyton Jones, and the few starts he's had, Oscar Audio has been really, really good as well. So I think that's first and foremost. And then the goaltending on that penalty kill, and they just have so many guys they can trust. Having Nikita Pavlichev is first and foremost the most dangerous weapon in college hockey because any team that has a great line, they can put him out against. And he can play in a neutral. He just clogs so much up with his size, and his reach. It's hard to move the puck if you're putting him up top on a kill. He can take away the passing lanes. They've been pretty good on faceoffs. And I really like what they've gotten from the freshmen, Connor McEachran, Connor McMenamin, and Tyler Grattan. They've been counted on in penalty kill situations. And guys, a coach, there are some college hockey coaches, for instance, Wisconsin and Tony Granato, who's in the NHL for so long, they won't use their best players on both the power play and penalty kill. You're only on one unit.
Right.
Guy, he's going to put his best guys out there. And, and I think in college hockey, it's something you have to do. So I think Guy deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's used his depth on his team, but also he's trusting his best guys in those situations. And I know I've said the word a gazillion times already, but they're mature. They know what to expect. They're in the situations. They've been in those situations for 3-4 years now, and they know what to handle. They've seen the opponent power plays before, and it all starts with Peyton on the back end for the kill. And then the power play, Steve, they just have so many elite skill guys that they can – and you've talked about it. I think every time we're on, the guy uses three different lines. Yeah. So how do you stop it?
Right, exactly. They're a very hard team to scout because of that.
They are.
I mean, most use two. So you've got at least a scout as here's prime A and here's the secondary B group. When you use three, you're hard to scout. I got to ask you about Maleri and DeNaples. They're both 40-plus blocks, right? That means you are sacrificing yourself for the good of the team. When you look at how they play it, the timing of it, but also the fact that it's selfless, what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's a big part of the penalty kill, too, because they're both out there a lot. I think it tells me this team has a chip on its shoulder. It's kind of been the MO around the team all year. They won't come right out and say it all the time, but they occasionally hint at it. Occasionally they'll say it. If you read between the lines, you definitely know it. They aren't happy with the way last season ended. They missed the NCAA tournament by one game. There's a reason why they have 19 upperclassmen. None of the juniors, seniors who could have left early did. They all came back. They feel like they have unfinished business. And I think you're seeing that with the style of play, the commitment on the defensive end, and that includes blocking shots. That's just Maleri's game, first and foremost. He's such a big physical defenseman. He's a pain in the neck to play against for other teams. But I think it goes back to the whole team thing. I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They feel like they have a Big Ten championship to win. They feel like they have an opportunity to reach the Frozen Four, and they feel like they have unfinished business from last year. So I think that's what you're seeing.
Okay, so now Michigan. Everything's about matchups. How do they match up with Michigan?
Yeah, this is a team that's playing a lot better. You look at their overall record, like 9-11 overall with a couple of ties, but they're 5-2 in their last seven, just swept Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and they're a team, if they can keep it a low-scoring game, which they did both times out in Ann Arbor when they split earlier this year, if they can keep it low-scoring, they've got some high finishers, but they're really comfortable in those one-goal, low-scoring games. If Penn State can get this to a 4-5, if you need more than 3 to win, you feel a lot better about Penn State's chances. That's kind of the matchup here. It's more of whose style is actually going to play out on the ice. That's the way I look at it with them. They have two first-round draft picks on their team. Cam York, who's a Flyers pick, 14th overall. Johnny Beecher, first-round pick of the Bruins. Both freshmen, they're really gifted. Will Lockwood's been around for a while. They can skate, but they're not a team. Even though they have the finishers and they can skate, they're still more of a low-scoring, defensive-oriented team. They've gotten great goaltending from Strauss, man. So if he's on his game and they're playing defensively, they'll like the matchup. If Penn State can get it more in that 4-5, 6-goal range, then you like their chances.
My friend, great work as always. The hockey broadcasts are awesome. I'm not surprised.
Well, thank you very much. Make sure you get ready. Get those snow tires on for tomorrow's trek to the Jordan Center. Hopefully the weather cooperates for tomorrow. I know a big crowd there. Looking forward to seeing that game, too.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. All right. Hockey Valley, here we go. Great to have you with us, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, where Matt's been stocking up all day.
Always.
Don't blame you, man. The imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Roast the peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. AFC NFC Championship games. More on that final half hour that we will delve into and get the picks. And the king may not be the king.
Not looking like it right now.
Well, we'll find out. Now, what are you? Now, you guys are referred to as what? Smirsh? Oh, wait a minute. No,
Mash.
That's in the Smirsh.
Smirsh.
You want to know why?
Why?
Those are the bad guys in Bond. Guys in Smirsh. I think it was the early years he called them Smirsh or something like that. Yeah, before they got the Spectre.
Spectre. Spectre.
Ah. So you got, what are you guys again? MASH?
We're MASH, as in the old TV show.
Yeah.
That was your brother's doing there.
Oh my goodness. Well, we'll do that in the final half hour. And
we're also going to put our intern Brooke on the air today too. She'll make her picks. Today's her last day with us.
Well, the reason we're doing that is simply for ratings. Ever. All right. The baseball story just gets worse and worse. Baseball's in an interesting spot right now, and interesting in a bad way. Look, let's give the Major League Baseball part of it, the organization. They're doing what they can to clean it up, but they have a mess to clean up. And then next week, they'll have the Hall of Fame announcement. The Hall of Fame announcement will be the usual. This will not be unusual, but the usual celebration. Derek Jeter possibly being unanimous. And the analyzation of Clemens, Bonds. Did one make it? Did they both make it? Did one make it? One not? Both miss? Did they gain more votes? And again, we'll bring back to the forefront the steroid era. Then they'll have the Red Sox investigation that'll have to be released. And before everybody gets all happy about, oh, yeah, the Red Sox and the Astros, it is purported that 7 or 8 teams have been doing this. Your team might be one of them. Your team might not be. I don't know. None of us knows. I mean, let's face it. When the year began, did you think that there'd be a story about players wearing buzzers in their jerseys? About burner accounts? This has been a wild time. A wild time. Burner accounts? I mean, the suit has a burner account. I think the police have done a good job uncovering it. That's after Matt and I told the police about it. Well, yeah, check the suit's burner account. Whew. There's a lot of information about Shikellamy football and basketball in that burner account that may have led to our play-by-play call of the day. Just kidding. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket imports domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Storm moving in, so why don't you stock up tonight? That way you go. Nice one-stop shopping, and you're all set for the weekend.